Hello, hi.
You want to tell us about your bird?
Oh, man.
It's so cool.
What if I'm wrong? No, I don't think I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure of my ID this morning.
Okay, so Thomas is in a community of people who have a hobby of IDing birds.
So there's a couple really cool apps out there. I don't know if Brian Buzman listens to this, but I think he would appreciate it. But Cornell University's Lab of Ornithology is like world renowned. It's like
nice.
The reason why ornithology exists.
Basically. Cornell, like Andy Bernard Cornell.
Yeah. Look, goldfinch.
That one was up on a higher tree earlier, just watching, waiting for everybody to clear out.
Bird. But they have an app called Merlin Bird ID, which it's like a backyard bird ID app, basically. Like,
what's that little red one right there?
House finch. But like, you know, there's like, you can put in your location, type in characteristics of a bird you saw, and it'll give you 10 options. Like, this is what
that's
it could be.
So
you
cool.
can say yes or no. And
it's also the app Thomas uses to call birds.
Yeah, because it has all their calls on there.
so he plays it. Play calls.
It's fine. If you didn't know this by now, you don't listen to our
show. Sometimes you'll like be hanging out with Thomas and you can tell that his attention is diverted. And then all of a sudden, like, you just hear his phone, like, making a... And you're like, you're not hanging out with me anymore, are you? And
he's am.
No, I'm hanging out with this.
It happened this morning.
Morning dove or whatever.
Maddie was talking to me this morning, and I was looking out the window, and she's like, are you listening? I was like, yes. But I was sitting, I was there, like, the way my house is set up, it's actually kind of like ideal for birds because our back deck is like 20 feet up, and then our backyard slopes off. So it's basically in the trees. And I have a feeder hanging off the porch that you can see right out the window, right where I have my quiet time. So I'd finished reading this morning. I was like, you know, reading about something else on my computer at sunrise, just doing some work. And I looked out at my feeder and I saw a bird that like instantly caught my attention. Like, you know, I look out there all the time because there's a couple birds that I don't like eating the bird seed. And then there's squirrels that'll come and I have to chase them off my porch.
It's jerks.
Like, yeah, they're jerks. They can,
hedonistic, wrong, selfish jerks.
Yeah, they're heretics. But I...
Philistines.
They're Philistines. But I looked out there and I saw a bird that I was like... There's three options of what it could be. I was positive of what it was. And it's extremely rare to see where we live. But right now it's migration season. So you could literally see anything.
Oh,
you could just get
wow.
lucky and like... Some bird that's flying from the tropics to Delaware is like, oh, there's a feeder. I'm going to stop real quick.
Wow.
And that's probably what happened today at sunrise.
From the tropics to Delaware.
I mean,
that was so
it's
random.
Crazy. Like, if you've... Oh, man, it's just amazing. It's called a blue grosbeak. You should look it up.
It's a very cool-looking bird.
Yeah, it could have been an eastern bluebird, which is very common where we live, but I know what they look like, and it wasn't. And it could have been an indigo bunting, which is less common. And I've never seen it in my feeder, but I've seen
those
a lot
so cool.
of, and I knew that's not what it was. So anyways, I freaked out. I texted Sam Bingham, who's a listener of our show, one of my best friends, and he and I share our birding interest. And I was like, dude, I'm positive I saw this. Is there any way I could be wrong? And he was like, that would be really rare, but let me look. And he was like, no, that's what you saw. And I was like, yes.
That's so fun. Well, so Thomas... is part of this birding app where people talk about their finds and their IDs.
Yeah, it's like a
and the people on the app are like they're like, hey buddy.
Well, no,
are
so
you sure?
Like what basically
sure
there's
a grosbeak.
There's an app that goes along with the Cornell app that's like you can log your bird sightings in.
Okay.
But it's a public, you know, you could like if I wanted to see if anybody had seen one, I could type it in and it would pull up like, okay, this is where someone has seen it and they've logged it in the app.
Is there anybody that goes on that app and just trolls, like writes like, today I saw
know.
A pterodactyl.
I'm pretty sure if you want, pretty sure if you're logging birds.
Today I saw a
winged
Nazgul.
You're not going to troll anybody in Nazgul. What books are you reading right now?
So true.
But no one had seen it. And basically like I typed it in and the app had a message that was like, congrats on seeing a rare bird. Please explain how you confirmed that you saw this. And I was like, here, let me type in all the details.
You're like, well, it's migration says. It's like, it's 7 a.m. and your back's already against the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. I know what I saw.
I love the idea that like, even when you're having your quiet time, even when you're hanging out with Jesus, he's like, hey, T, do I have your whole attention? Like, are you hanging out with birds right now?
Oh, man, I'm so weird. There's things, though, that I could be hooked on.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
birds.
Hey, I love
it. Fine.
Hey, welcome to Ancient and New. Today, well, as we record this today, it's in the middle of Holy Week. But if you're a person who listens to the show the day it comes out, rather than like just waiting and listening to it like several days later for some reason.
On a Monday.
Like on a Monday. That's such an odd
somewhere out there, there's someone listening to this who we don't know. Yeah. And they automatically just felt guilty. And they don't realize we're calling out one person.
Yeah,
we're that's specifically towards one of our friends.
Like I literally, and I feel like I could hear the tone of Jeffrey's voice being like, hey now, hey,
hey, hey,
hey now, hey. On Monday when he hears this. When
the exact face he just made
after our Lord has already risen.
Yeah.
The show comes out on Thursdays, so this week the show comes out on Maundy Thursday.
But also be aware, I'm currently feeding my infant child. Yeah. So if you hear some squeaks and screams,
yeah, we're
nobody's being murdered. I just have a baby.
We
You also could hear a loud belch any minute, and that's because my child needed to burp. Isn't that right, buddy?
We're hoping we get to make the show today.
Yeah.
We're a scant 6.5 minutes in.
Wow.
Okay. So Maundy Thursday, if you didn't go to a liturgical church or didn't have churches name the days of Holy Week or anything like that, you know, you have Good Friday, and that's the day we remember Jesus dying for us on the cross. You have Easter Sunday, of course, when we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead. Maundy Thursday it's about that Thursday night when Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples. And there's a place in John chapter 13 where he says, a new command I give you. So in Latin, the word for a new command is mandatum, like novu. Mm. Like that's like,
mandate.
Mandate. That's right. A new command. So because of that, because of the Latin word for command, we call this day that you're hearing this, if you listen when the podcast actually drops, then we call that, Christians Maundy have always Thursday. Called that Maundy Thursday. Okay. So I thought we would just kind of read some of that Last Supper.
This is a joint venture today.
It's a joint venture. We're both going to talk about this. So it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Some versions say to the uttermost. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Here's that Jude. This episode is starring Jude, by the way. Jesus knew that the Father had already put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing. And actually, when John wrote this, it doesn't have the word outer. That's a translation. He just said he took off his clothes, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Let's just do that. Let's just start there. And maybe we'll read some more later, but I think we've already heard some fascinating stuff. Like, for me, one of the things that stands out as we read it this morning is that Jesus already knew everything that was going to happen to him.
Yeah. Yeah. What did it say? Everything was under his commander. He knows everything. And like,
he knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world.
Right.
He knew that, that the Father had put all things under his power.
There you go. Under his power. That's what I was thinking. All things under his power. That right there, because like, if you're new to our faith, or if you've grown up in this thing, like crucifixion was a very common execution at the time. It's what the Romans used to execute betrayers, thieves, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
murderers, all, like, it was a
people who were rising up against the government.
Right.
It wasn't just a simple execution of that person. It was also a societal intimidation tactic.
Like, exactly.
It was public. So people would see it. It was slow. So, and unbelievably agonizing, so that people would see, like, oh, you don't want to rise up against these these Romans because they will do this to you.
Right.
So it's not just that it wasn't a firing squad. It wasn't lethal injection. It was slow public. They would crucify people along the road so that you would have to see this
right
in progress while you're walking.
Leave their bodies so birds of prey could pick right them apart. Like if, you know, a lot of times their wounds would be infected by flies and bugs as they took 1, 2, 3 days to die. Exactly. You know, like maggots are, this is disgusting, but like, okay, so that, you know, that's the common execution of the time. Zoom out even further. Like Jesus knows, like he's about to be betrayed by someone in his inner circle.
In the room.
Someone who's in the room. Like he's about to be abandoned by all of his friends as they flee yeah in terror. He's about to be disowned by one of his best friends. Yes. So like there's like, he knows what's going to happen, and it includes so much. He's about to be beaten, flogged, whipped, spat on. He's about to be interrogated. He's about to be stripped naked. He's about to have to try to carry a 100-pound beam up a hill. Like there's just like, it's more encapsulating than it sounds, I believe. You hear that and it's like, okay, he knows what's going on. And like, first of all, that's a powerful line of scripture there to think about how he knows everything. But when you go ahead and categorize all that includes, you're like, oh wait, you know this and you're still going to go through with it.
Ooh. Yeah. And not only, okay, so that's a really good point, because one of the things that is hard for us to get our head around is the fact that the scriptures do not give a graphic representation of all the things that happened mm-hmm to Jesus. I mean, I think the closest is the Gospel of Matthew, when they talk about the, especially the way he was beaten up. Like the Gospel of Matthew is pretty explicit, but like no movie that you've ever seen has been graphic enough a representation right of it. No painting you've ever seen has ever done it justice. And what he was about to go through was so intense and so difficult and so painful, but also like you're saying, the psychological pain, the emotional pain, mm-hmm, the abandonment, the humiliation, the shame, all of those things. And the way that John starts this chapter is he knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa, that like any other storyteller telling a story about somebody that was about to go through what Jesus was about to go through would emphasize things spinning out of control. Right. And what we have here is the opposite. Things are lining up under the perfect organization of Jesus's plan okay to rescue us.
So let's like put all that under an umbrella of like, now we know all this. The thing that always is striking to me is what he chooses to do mm down the stretch of this. Okay. I'm not talking about like from the moment he's arrested on. I'm saying like, okay, it's his last evening with his guys. Mm-hmm. That has always been a thing to me that's like, okay, my like paying attentionness is up. The windows are closed to the birds. Like my focus is now. Like
the blue grosbeak could come sit on your shoulder and you wouldn't even.
So like, My spidey senses are tingling. I'm like, okay, he knows everything that's about to happen.
Yeah.
Like, in my human mind, and I've never been in this experience. I don't know that I will. Maybe I will. And there's probably people who are listening who have a close experience with this. But like, if I knew, here's like the end right here. Yeah. It's this far away from me.
Right.
There's things that pop in my head that I'm like, okay, this is what I would want to have done or get done or accomplish, whatever, you know, like, right. And maybe that's probably like vain and it's coming from a place of, I've never experienced this. So just give me some grace. I hope that wasn't offensive to anybody, but I do hear that. And I look at like knowing what's about to happen, knowing that Jesus knows all that. The thing that my human brain goes to is like, okay, what's he do with this last little bit? What's important to him? That's how I view that. Like, okay, this is his last like time before the resurrection on earth with his disciples, where they're all in a room together.
Yeah.
This is where I'm like, my senses are heightened. What is obviously extremely important to you that you want to get across to these folks.
It's amazing. And not only that, like I just realized something that I meant to say earlier and forgot to say, which was, not only does he know factually what's about to happen to him, but he, like, the things that he's about to experience, he invented the infrastructure that would register the experience. Like, he invented the neural pathways and the muscle systems and the heart and the respiratory system that were about to be assaulted in unbelievable ways in the next few hours. And so, like, all that to say, it's like, it's not just somebody that knows, like, I'm dying soon, which that is so trippy anyway. But like, this is somebody who knows every single thing about what the experience is going to be to a degree that we can't possibly even fathom. And so put that under the umbrella as well. And so how are you going to spend a meal with your guys? And then, by the way, we also have to add into that the context that we get from the Gospel of Luke, which is
right. That
they were obtusely arguing with each other about which one of them was the greatest Jesus follower.
Yeah, they didn't do it well.
No.
There's probably some whatever. This is also from a human brain standpoint, but like some do-over wishes there from a few of those guys.
Yeah, they're
you know, it's like they're in heaven right now and they're like, you know, they're probably like, Thomas, I don't care about that. But like, also it's like, well,
but I would have taken a mulligan.
This moment is written down forever in history.
It's true.
This is how those people of earth know me as.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so put all of that together under one thing. The guys are arguing. They don't know it's the last, that this is the end. Like, even though he's told them for 6 months, we're going to Jerusalem and this is what's going to happen to me. And what he decides to do in the middle of their fight is stand up from the meal. He took his clothes off, which is like, that's going to be startling in any situation.
Yeah.
Any, like, your friends are hanging out, you're having dinner. He took his clothes off. You can imagine the room went dead silent.
Right.
He grabs a towel, wraps it around him like a slave, fills a basin with water. And then, like, the tenderest thing, like the tenderest experience of like going up to these guys on the floor with their dirty, nasty feet that were not washed.
Right.
And he just starts to like sponge them off. Mm. And like the feel of when somebody has your foot in their hands and they're just like tenderly taking care of your feet. That is such an intimate moment. Right. It's so personal. It's so personal.
Right. Yeah. I read something. There's a thing in there. And I don't know if you got to Peter or not in this. Did you?
Okay.
So there's a moment there.
You want me to go there real quick?
You can, yeah.
Okay. This is starting in verse 6. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't realize what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Mm-hmm. And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Well then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean.
So that whole thing about like the those who've had a bath, that has always been a confusing, I've always been like, I don't understand. And contextually speaking, like at the time of what was going on, sorry, my son is just, he's learning how to talk.
He's being adorable.
As a four-month-old.
Those giant brown eyes. And he's just like, brr, brr.
But at the time that this was going on, like they would bathe and then they would have to walk more to get where they would, you know, I guess like dry off and get dressed and everything. So the last thing they would do is wash their feet. So that's right. The context of that. And I love the imagery of that and just like the idea that like Peter has spent the better part of 3 years at Jesus' hip, learning, listening, getting to know, believing in, you know, like he's someone who confessed early on, like, this is who you are and this is what we know to be true about you. This is what other people say about you, but this is what we know to be true about you. He understood that.
Yeah.
And there's just this, like, the idea of what Jesus is doing here, one is like a representation of this is how you should treat other people. So you should really pay attention to this.
Yeah.
But also, like, do you have the ability, you personally, do you have the ability to speak? Is there like another layer of like what may be going on here? Do you think, or do you think it's just a like, hey, this is an example I'm going to set for you? Because he says that pretty clearly. Yeah. But like, I don't know. I don't really know what I'm going with, going to exactly with that. But
I think that, you know, for Peter, it always feels like he wanted to be the special one, you know, like, which it's like, who doesn't, you know, who doesn't want to be special, you know? But like he's like, look, you might be washing everybody else's feet. You're not going to wash mine. At the beginning of their relationship, he's like, get away from me. I'm sinful. You know, it's like, I'll impress you with my ability to pull myself apart and I will gladly be the worst. I will gladly be the person, away from you, because that's how aware I am of, you know, whatever. And Jesus is just like, hey, buddy, you're just like everybody else.
Yeah.
And that may sound lame, but here's the truth. Cool. This is how I love everybody else. Yeah. And you're included in that.
Right.
And what's so trippy to me is however many minutes he spent on each guy's feet, like he spent those same minutes on Judas's feet.
Yeah.
And that just absolutely wrecks me.
Right.
It's like, you know, Judas is leaving this room to go sell you out.
Yeah.
You know that the wheels that are in motion to bring about your pain, suffering, and death they're going to come when these specific 2 feet walk out of this room and down the steps and out into the city streets and up to the temple or whatever, right, or wherever those guys' offices were. And yet you hold those feet in your hand and you pour the water over them and you look into his face with that tenderness and you're just like, hey, buddy, it's me and you. You really going to do this? And it's like, that is so incredible.
Yeah, and there's even the moment like that we haven't gotten to yet where he offers him communion.
Yeah.
I mean, what we know now is communion, but like in a distinguished,
which he had setting. Left, but like he had left by the time he did that, but he does like dip the,
that's what I'm saying. He offers the,
and like offers it.
That's
to
what I'm
him,
saying. Like, yeah. Like, he's like, here's this thing. I'm not sorry. I it's shouldn't like talk about communion, but yeah, it's what I'm saying. He offers like, it's distinguishing and like pointing out somebody in the way that we would raise our glass to somebody.
Yes, exactly.
And he does that. Sorry, I shouldn't have said the communion thing.
Raise a glass to freedom. Yeah, like it's like he's like honoring Judas at the meal. Because when they said, like who is it gonna be that betrays you? And he's like, it's the one I give this bread to and I dip it in the dish. And it's like that was a cultural thing of showing honor, like you're saying.
Okay, so zoom out, like I keep using this terminology. I don't know about you, but I've at the ripe age of 28, have found myself multiple times in my life taking my index finger and my thumb to do this on a physical paper. Paper, physical picture.
The pinch zoom.
Yes, yeah. I was. No one can see what I'm doing because this is an audio form of
you
medium.
Know,
but like,
though.
I have found myself like, oh yeah, that's a magazine. Yeah. I can't zoom in on this.
Yes,
but
this gesture does not work in the physical universe.
On the whole, like Maundy Thursday. I always want to say Maundy Thursday.
I do too. And I think I did earlier.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
It's just a,
we live in the South.
It's an Appalachian pronunciation.
But like, I always like zooming out on this whole thing. Like if we were to like put some like signposts of like, okay, I know we only looked at one specific thing, but what are like, let's put down some, like, here's how Jesus chose to spend the last few hours. Here are some examples he decided to set in the last few hours. We've got the foot washing. Like, hey, this is how you should treat other people. Look at this. This is amazing.
And even to pinpoint to underline what you're saying, he later says, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you
do them. That's right. That's exactly how it
ends. A word that means happy.
Yeah.
It's like, if you want to be happy, this is how you treat people.
And like, let's just be honest. Like, I think, and I could be wrong about this. I'm willing to be wrong, but I'm right. If you, as a follower of Jesus, like, if you were completely honest and you would say, my happiest moments in life, they would be followed by something in this.
Yeah.
Something in this, like, umbrella of, like, in some way I was serving Jesus and someone else.
Yeah.
My biggest laughs, my biggest joys, they have been included in that.
Yeah. Like when I was doing something for somebody else, when I was spending my energy and my,
Jesus knew what he was talking about.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's like, I think for a long time, it was easy for me to look at some of the words and the actions of Jesus in the context of like, all right, we all know it's hard to be, you know, to be who you're supposed to be. And it's sacrifice and it's difficult and everything. And Jesus was the file leader of that. And so we're supposed to follow his example. Everybody knows it sucks, but this is what it means to follow Jesus. Right. There's another way of looking at that. When you flip it upside down and realize, wait a minute, the smartest person who's ever lived said, you want to be happy? Wash people's feet. Mm. It's like, what if it's not about like, this is so difficult and it's suffering, but that's just the way it is. You just have to be willing to do that because mm-hmm. that's what it means to be a Jesus person. It's like, right. What if Jesus is saying like, actually, I'm trying to give you the cheat code. Yeah. To like having a really fun and fulfilling life.
Yeah, you
want to
unlock the maps, all the maps on the game. Here you go.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, this gets you all the skins and all the inventory items. This right here.
Right. Here's the cheat code. Okay. So we have that. Like, what are some other signposts or footholds?
I think about when they leave the upper room and they're walking through the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives later in chapter 15. And it's like, and I'm guessing that like, by the way, Passover is always, so this was on a Passover. Passover is always under a full moon.
Yep.
And part of the reason for that was that the children of Israel were leaving Egypt in the middle of the night and they needed some mm-hmm. light to walk by.
Yeah.
So Passover is always the second full moon of the calendar year, I believe. And so they're walking out of the streets of Jerusalem, down through the Kidron Valley, into the Mount of Olives. And under the light of that full moon, they're passing vineyards.
Yeah.
You know, the vineyards that would supply wine into the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus teaches about, he's like, hey, let me give you another cheat code. Stay connected to me. Mm-hmm. Just like that vine right there, the way that the plant produces fruit is it's connected. Those branches are connected to the vine.
Yeah.
I'm the vine. You're the branches.
Right.
Stay connected with me.
Right. And so this time of year, like I have, it's April 13th. So today is, and in my yard, I've got two muscadine vines, which are grapevines. They're just a variety that grows well in the Southeast United States. And right now they're just now budding with leaves. Mm. It's quite possible that, one thing that's common in grape growing parts of the world is that they would like prune like right. Not like I pruned like 4 weeks ago. I pruned those. Yeah. It's like right before this happens, you want to prune it so your vines grow exactly how they are. So there would be like one common way of what nations do all around the world who grow vines is they will cut those and then they will take what is now just a twig and line it up in piles to burn across the vineyard.
Wow.
So it's quite possible that when they were doing this, that there was little fires burning.
Wow.
Because he talks about how like, hey, if you're not connected to me, that's what you're going to be. Just a twig that's tossed in a pile and burned.
Wow.
And I like
it could still be smoldering from the burn of the day.
Exactly. Like there could be a little smoke bellows going up everywhere.
I think about how before they got to the Mount of Olives, still in chapter 15, he's just like, hey, this is my last night. There's something I've been wanting to tell you, which is I no longer call you servants. I call you my friends.
Yeah. There's another, I don't know if it's in John or another one of the gospels, but it says they sang a hymn.
Yeah.
And then they went out.
That's right.
Just singing together. There's another in John chapter 14. Is it 14?
Yeah.
Where he, it's not 14.
Which
16. Where he just prays.
Oh, 17.
17. Yeah, where he just prays for him.
Yeah.
And he like, if you've never read Jesus's prayer, I did something on it a couple weeks ago in this podcast, I believe, but like if you haven't done it yet, this is a great week to just literally spend 10, 15 minutes reading that. Because it's not a long chapter, but just read John chapter 17 over and over again.
Yeah.
And just think about the things that the Lord includes us in, and that, and I think it's absolutely stunning.
Or listen, like, you know, on Spotify, you could listen to Streetlights. The Streetlights Bible is really, really cool, just with, like, it has a lo-fi beat behind it and then a guy reading it. Or in, like, the just standard iPhone Bible app, if you go into the NIV UK, then, like, one of the greatest actors of all time reads the whole Bible to you.
That's cool.
A guy named David Suchet.
Well, like, so we just kind of laid out, like, a, I don't know, a cheat code, I guess. I don't know. There's just, like, here's how Jesus Christ, our Lord and Messiah, spent his last few hours.
Yeah, like, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to sing with you. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to make sure that you know that you're my friends.
Yeah.
What a night.
Do you want to be happy? Here you go.
Yeah.
On serve, a platter. There you go.
Sing. Pray. Let people know how you feel about them.
And it's worth asking, like, if you've gone through a long stretch of your life, there are contributing factors to feeling, like, to, for having a hard season. That's exactly, that's absolutely true. If you've realized, though, in general in your life, I wouldn't describe myself as someone who's easily happy or whatever. It may be worth saying, like, okay, here's a list of things.
Here's a template.
Here's how you can try to start moving in that direction.
It's like a checklist. Yeah. There's this thing that, I think about that thing in John 15 of him saying to them, like, you're my friends, just telling people in your life how you feel about them intentionally and on purpose. There's a thing that Tom Job says to me sometimes, which is, sometimes he'll say it right before we both get in our cars to leave the church, or sometimes he'll just say it at the end of a phone call, where he'll say, hey, if nobody's told you today, and then there's a little pause, a little beat, and I know what's coming next, I love you.
Mm.
Which, like, that's basically never true of me, because Christy tells me all the time. And if my son is awake before I leave the house, 100% of the time he will tell me. And a lot of times he'll tell me before I tell him, but it's so kind to have somebody say, hey, if nobody's told you today, I love you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm a man who those things are soaked up like a sponge. Yeah. I need a lot of that.
Yeah.
It's sweet. I love hearing that. If you're someone who does not like hearing baby sounds, I'm sorry that you had to this entire podcast.
Whatever.
Look at my child just trying to slide up. Like, you got something you want to say, bud?
Oh, I think he said go Vols.
Yeah, I think
oh gosh. I think he gave props to Mike Honcho. Let him know, Jude.
Let him know, buddy. What do you have to say?
He's nervous. Also, the mic would not fit in his mouth.
So. No. Yeah. Oh man. This show's been brought to you by Jude the Dude.
And Dobby, our dog, who's not a free dog at the moment.
Dob Marley over there has kept it relatively quiet for the pod.
Dob the Builder's just been Jay chilling in her cage.
Yeah. Dobbert De Niro, I thought was going to bite my head off when I came in the house. She was pretty upset that I was here, but.
Dob Logan just. Oh. Oh,
that was for us.
That was for us,
guys.
For a select few.
Hey, happy Holy Week, folks. I hope that you have a lovely Maundy Thursday. And
did we get anything done in this podcast episode?
I think we did.
Okay, cool.
I feel encouraged. I feel like we gave the cheat code.
I think we did. I was a bit distracted by my son, but
he is a lovely young man and. There he said his piece.
Yeah, there he is.
Guys, thanks for joining us. I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This is Jude. This has been Jude.
Oh, love so deep and strong. So unafraid of pain. You chased my wayward heart through wrong. You bore my darkest stains. You bled for me. Oh, love so free. Oh, love scorned and betrayed. to grant some